KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, light snow continues to fall here in Atlantic. We have 21 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. And the roadways here in western Iowa are reported to be partially covered with a mixture of snow, ice, or slush. And the DOT is warning you to look out for those icy bridges as well. You ought to decrease your speed as you're approaching those bridges or overpasses this morning. The Adair County Board of Supervisors will meet for the last time this year, coming up in just about an hour in Greenfield. And during that session at the courthouse, the board will discuss and possibly act on taxable mileage, township clerk wages, and an amended public health emergency preparedness contract. In addition, at 9:15, the Adair County Supervisors will hear from County Engineer Nick Kaufman, who will present a report on his department's maintenance and activities. And don't forget, next Monday, the Cass County Board of Supervisors will hold their last meeting of the month here in Atlantic. And during that session, at 9 a.m. Monday, the board will act on livestock facility construction resolution and on ratifying a bargaining unit agreement with the Secondary Roads Department Union. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Well, three Iowans who have devoted their lives to improving cattle and beef production in the state were honored during the Iowa Cattlemen's Association's annual meeting held this month. Together, their work totals 125 years. Daryl Busby of Oakland was honored as the ICA 2012 Hall of Fame recipient. Since Busby came to Iowa in 1980 as an extension beef specialist, he's worked to provide a better understanding for producers of what is going on inside of cattle that is can improve outcomes on the outside. As an extension specialist for 30 years, Busby collected in-depth growth and carcass data and showed cattle producers how the information is useful in cause and effect ways that impact their bottom line. And although he retired from ISU in 2010, he continues to focus on collecting data about beef cattle as a manager of the Tri-County Steer Carcass Futurity Cooperative in southwest Iowa. Another one of the honorees was Lee Ferris of Mount Air, who was named the 2012 Outstanding Commercial Producer Award winner. Ferris has been involved in cattle production for 40 years. He began his beef operation near Mount Air when he purchased 27 head of 3-year-old bred cows in 1973. And over time, he has grown that herd to more than 200 cows. In recent years, he's been able to document a 95% calf crop or better. The Iowa Cattlemen's Association and Iowa Beef Breeds Council jointly selected Ferris as the award winner for the Outstanding Commercial Producer Award. They also worked together to select the final recipient of producer awards. And at the Iowa Cattlemen's Association annual meeting this month, Everett Shepard of E.J. Shepard, Charlay, and Stewart was named the Seed Stock Producer of the Year for 2013. His journey is to focusing on Charlay cattle is much like the journeys he's taken across the country looking for the right genetics. Shepard has been in the cattle business for 46 years, starting with a registered Angus herd and then crossing them with Simmentals for 10 years in his commercial cow-calf operation. He gradually transitioned to purebred Charlay and focused on seed stock production, providing quality bulls and heifers to commercial herds in Iowa, as well as the U.S. and Canada. The Iowa Cattlemen's Association, by the way, represents more than 9,500 beef-producing families and associated companies dedicated to the future of Iowa's beef industry. The ICA's mission is to grow Iowa's beef business through advocacy, leadership, and education. An Iowa State University professor has been given a top sustainability achievement award in the state. Practical Farmers of Iowa, says Matt Liebman, is the recipient of its 2013 Sustainable Agriculture Achievement Award. Liebman will be presented with the prize in January. The annual award recognizes individuals who have excelled in demonstrating sustainable agriculture and sharing it with others. Liebman's research focuses on diversified crop rotations and using native perennial species for biofuels production. A trade group representing Iowa's liquid renewable fuels industry says drivers in the state could save a lot of money if they switch to an ethanol-based fuel when buying gas. The Iowa Renewable Fuels Association says drivers could have saved $69 million in 2012 if they'd switched to E15, a fuel blend containing 15% ethanol. They calculated the savings based on data from the state's Department of Revenue. The group says Iowans who drive 2001 and newer vehicles can use E15. They say E15 averages 5 cents a gallon lower than E10, a fuel blended with more gasoline. A snowstorm that pummeled the upper Midwest last week is helping to ease dry conditions in Iowa, but it hasn't done much to relax the overall grip of the worst U.S. drought in decades. The weekly U.S. Drought Monitor report released yesterday showed roughly 62% of the continental U.S. remains in some form of drought, and that's unchanged from the previous week. The number has been above 60% or more since July. Nearly 22% of the lower 48 states are in extreme or exceptional drought, which are the two worst categories. That's also unchanged from the previous week. All of Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and South Dakota are in the drought, but thanks to last week's snow, the amount of Iowa in extreme or exceptional drought categories fell 9 percentage points to 32%. Some Iowa farmers had a very rough 2012 due to the drought, and it'll translate to a more expensive 2013 for consumers. A report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture predicts food prices will be rising in the months ahead. USDA economist Ricky Volpe said the big hike in livestock feed prices means that beef, pork, and chicken will cost you more.
We're going to see strong food price inflation for a lot of animal-based products. That's expected to happen relatively early in the year, in the first quarter or the first half of 2013.
Food prices rose about 2.5% this year, and the agency predicts they'll rise 3 to 4% in the year ahead. Volpe said that meat prices will go up initially, with many other items costing more by late this summer.
That's when we expect to see more significant impacts for all these more packaged, processed, shelf-stabled foods, things like soups and condiments and side dishes, and then even things like breakfast cereals and packaged breads, those kinds of foods. That's where we're going to start to see the impacts of the drought happen a little bit later, so consumers are going to feel it more for those foods. It'll be more incremental, it'll be a little bit smaller, but it will happen in the second half of 2013 and maybe even in 2014.
Volpe said the effects of the summer-long drought will continue to have ripple effects in all grocery aisles.
We've seen in the last couple months fluid milk prices ticking up, so it does appear as if for this food, the drought has really started to hit it. And we always kind of expected that fluid milk and dairy would be kind of a good bellwether of where the drought is headed, because we're looking at a food group that is not very storable and doesn't require a lot of processing. So expect to see dairy products, that this large category on average, go up about 4% in 2013 as a result of these higher feed prices.
The report says the price of milk and other dairy products could double if price supports are not addressed by Congress in a new farm bill by the end of the year. The first significant snowfall of the season last week had area snowmobilers out enjoying their machines and hoping for more snow to keep them active. Cass County recorder Joyce Jensen told KJAN News that before you begin your next adventure in the open, you should be aware the state of Iowa has made some changes to snowmobile registration, license renewals, titling, and assignment of liens. Jensen says her office uses the Recreational Vehicle and Vessel Registration System, or RIVERS. She reminds snowmobile enthusiasts that registration for your machine or machines are due no later than the end of this month.
The registrations are due, if you don't want to pay a penalty, by December 31st.
In addition, she says there are some new requirements when it comes to using snowmobiles on public land.
All snowmobiles, regardless of an owner's residency status, used on public land, public ice, or designated snowmobile trays must display a user's permit, which is brand new. They have not had the user permit issued before.
User permits are required in addition to a valid registration. And Jensen says also to be that the state requires insurance cards or proof of insurance in order for snowmobiles to be used on the highways. And there are some new rules as well regarding the use of snowmobiles for water skipping.
You're welcome to come in and pick up the new booklet at the recorder's office, and we will go over those changes with you. Hope to see all you snowmobilers in the next few days to get those registrations done.
Taking a look now at world headlines, Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says, "I don't know time-wise how it can happen now, but President Barack Obama and top members of Congress are meeting anyway to try and avert the fiscal cliff of tax increases and budget cuts, which are set to go into effect on Tuesday. Obama has invited congressional leaders to the White House this afternoon, and House members are holding an unusual session on Sunday. A Senate Democrat says he believes the odds are better than people think that a deal can be reached to avoid automatic tax increases and spending cuts next week. New York's Chuck Schumer tells NBC's Today Show he's encouraged that Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky is getting actively engaged in talks to resolve the problem. Appearing on the same show, Republican Senator John Thune noted a meeting later today among President Barack Obama and congressional leaders, saying that it's encouraging that people are talking. Wall Street is expected to open lower this morning, with the Dow Jones Industrial Futures and the broader S&P futures down. Earlier today, Asian stocks rose and European shares have been mixed in early trading. Reaction is pouring in following news of the death of General Norman Schwarzkopf, who drove Iraqi forces out of Kuwait in 1991 during Operation Desert Storm. Former President George H.W. Bush called Schwarzkopf a good and decent man. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell says America has lost a great patriot and a great soldier. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent requests to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Bill Huff, age 85, of Greenfield, died Monday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Bill Huff will be today at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle, with Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield in charge of arrangements. Mary Ann Munchrath, age 87, of Erling, died Tuesday at the Elmcrest Assisted Living Facility. A massive Christian burial service for Mary Ann Munchrath will be today at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling, with the Pauli Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. Judith Altfulish Kim, age 71, formerly of Atlantic, died December 19th in Arizona. Funeral services for Judith Altfulish Kim will be today at 11 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Ockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Linda Lou Sanders Fudge, age 61, of Atlantic, died December 16th at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Linda Fudge will be today at 11 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Rowena Hazel Ratzliff, age 79, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Rowena Ratzliff will be today at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Helen Gray, age 72, of Atlantic, died Sunday at CCMH. Funeral services for Helen Gray will be held this afternoon at 2:30 in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Robert Daniel Roselle, age 90, of rural Lewis, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Robert Roselle will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Westlawn Hillcrest Mortuary in Omaha. Helen Pig, age 90, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Monday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Helen Pig will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic, with the Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. Wilma Rose, age 85, of Bayard, died Thursday at the Guthrie County Hospital in Guthrie Center. Private family funeral services are planned for Wilma Rose at the Odie Funeral Home in Bayard. And Mary Arrowsmith, age 91, of Bayard, died Wednesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Mary Arrowsmith are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Bayard. And that is a check of our news and funeral announcements, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.